It's quarter number three on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Time to Ask Ross. This week's Ask Ross segment is brought to you by the 409 Tailgate Club. For the best gifts for the tailgater in your life, go to 409tailgateclub.com. And always remember, tailgate with honor.
Welcome back to the Labatt Studio. It's quarter number three, which means it's time for Ask Ross, brought to you by 409tailgateclub.com for all your barbecue rubs, sauces, catering, and tailgate wine needs. Go to 409tailgateclub.com. You won't be disappointed. Trust me, I use their products, not because they sponsor, but because their stuff is good. Don't forget, we got a bunch of questions for you, Ross. Listener Dean with the number one question this week will receive a tailgate box courtesy of 409tailgateclub.com. You'll get some rubs, sauces, in a nice gift basket. So let's get started. Are you ready, sir?
I am ready.
All right, let's start with Dominic in Cranberry Township. That's in Pennsylvania. I'd like to know a little bit more about the wide receiver coach Penn State just hired. How do you think he'll perform given the style of football in the Big Ten and Penn State's offense? Do you know about anything about the receivers he coached at Duke, how they perform, how they do? Do you think there's any player that could benefit from the roster from his type of tutelage more than any other based on recent experience as a coach? Thank you.
That's not going to win. Best question. I can say that much right now. I'll start with that. And I will go.
I'm trying to avoid the transfer portal questions.
And I will go no, no, and no.
No, no, and no.
I mean, to his questions, what do I know about him? Very little, other than Franklin identified him. Duke throws the ball all over the place.
They do.
They had a really good quarterback. So I think that probably speaks well of him and his, you know, working with Cutcliffe. I think that's a positive for his passing game acumen, which, you know, David Corley came from Army.
Right.
They got him from Army. So I would just say, if you're going to get a receivers coach, Duke better than Army in terms of receivers coaches. And I think all the young guys, you know, we'll see how they develop under him over the next couple of years. That's pretty clearly what his charge is. His number one thing is probably to get Julian Fleming.
Yeah.
And his number two thing is probably to get these freshmen and redshirt freshmen to be playing at a high level next year.
Job number one, Julian Fleming. Job number two, figure out how to unleash Justin Shorter. Boom.
There you go. He's a guy that
that's your 19 charge.
He's going to be the guy to watch, I think, in the passing game this year.
Yeah, that's a good one. All right, let's go to Dave in Shippensburg. He says, Ross, do you think Juwan Johnson leaving is because he's maybe getting bad vibes about Penn State and his role in the passing game next season, or he simply feels like he'll get passed up on the depth chart?
I don't know what happened with him, but it wasn't good. And I think he had probably had high expectations coming into the year. You know, based on his sophomore year, he probably thought he was going to come in, have a big year, and then go pro.
Yeah.
He probably thought he was going to leave school and go pro. And maybe getting off to a slow start really started to affect him mentally, knowing that, you know, it's a little bit different. And I can speak to this. It's a little bit different when you feel like your livelihood, your money is dependent on how you perform. There's definitely, I never felt nearly the same pressure or stress in high school or college I felt in the NFL.
Right.
When I was in college, I didn't look at it like, even my senior year when I thought I'd have a chance, I didn't look at it like, I better play well or my draft stock's going to go down. I just think that there are certain guys that when they start to think about that part of it, I just think that pressure and stress weighs them down. I think he probably recognizes that the young guys are pretty good and that there's going to be a lot of competition, and felt like a change of scenery would be his best option. I'm not sure I would have made this move if I were him. He probably has a pretty good rapport with Stevens and with Sean Clifford.
Mm-hmm.
Now he has to go somewhere else. Has he already graduated?
Yes.
Or is he
He's a grad transfer. He's a grad transfer.
Okay. But at any rate, we'll see. You got to go somewhere else, spring ball. I mean, he had to ask himself, is he going to have a better year at Penn State or a better year somewhere else? I think we should reserve judgment until we see where that other place is. feels to me like a Rutgers guy. You know what I mean? Seriously, he's from Jersey. You know, they desperately need him.
How interested do you think the head coach in Starkville, Mississippi, whose offense he thrived in, might be interested in Juwan Johnson?
Interesting.
Probably very. Yeah.
Interesting.
Is that not does Joe Moorhead not say, he had 700 yards receiving in 2017 and he came on strong in my offense during the second half. And now I can just have him if I want him. Assuming he can get a quarterback who can actually throw a forward pass.
Right.
Would you not, if you're Joe Moorhead, are you not on the phone to Juwan saying, hey, 1 year, Mississippi it's not that State. Bad. Stark Vegas, come on down.
SEC.
You're going to play some high-profile games against some high-profile kids. I originally thought Jersey, too, but I just wonder if Joe will. He went after Anderson Butts.
He did.
I think if you're going to go after him, why
wouldn't you? Anderson Butts going?
He's going to Mississippi State.
Mississippi State.
Oh, he's going there.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you go after Juwan Johnson?
Yeah, that makes good sense. Well done, Bob. All right, let's keep going. Bernie in Voorhees, New Jersey asks, why was the O-line still mediocre if they had three players who could have gone to the NFL? They never had a consistent run game or pass game blocking, in my opinion. Thanks.
Well, first of all, I think the offensive line was a lot better than he gives him credit for.
Agreed.
A lot better. So I'm not sure we are watching the same thing. And Steven Gonzalez was not a draftable player. So him announcing he's coming back, I don't really get that part of it, right? And Ryan Bates is a late-round pick. Connor McGovern's the best of the bunch. And I thought the offensive line was pretty solid. They struggled against Michigan. What else, Bob?
They struggled against Kentucky. I thought they struggled against Kentucky.
I don't understand. The Kentucky game bothers me. There was mental errors.
Mental
errors in the Kentucky game.
Yeah.
Really. Like, Josh Allen coming scot-free.
I mean, I felt like they lost that game because of drop passes and special teams. I did not think they lost that game because of the offensive
line. No, I don't think they lost the game. I just didn't think the offensive line had performed.
No one's blocking Josh Allen, but it just showed up bigger, I thought, that game. I really think the offensive line got a little bit of a bad rap for the 2018 season. Could they have played better? Yeah, they could have, but I thought Michael Mennett was a guy that took a big step forward. I'm curious to see if Will Fries can, but to Ross's point the way that the three guys that are leaving, I think Connor is going to be the first one off the board, and I'm not sure how long Ryan Bates is going to have to wait.
You're listening to Ask Ross, brought to you by 409tailgateclub.com. Go to 409tailgateclub for all your barbecue sauce, rubs, catering, and barbecue wine needs. We're coming to you from the Labatt Blue Studio, Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Remember, bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. This is Ask Ross. We're asking your questions. Let's keep going. Jesse in Biglerville asks, why did James Franklin fire its wide receivers coach but decide to keep Phil Galliano around on special teams? Both were dramatically underperforming this season and a liability for the team. Why keep one and not fire both?
I can't answer that.
All right.
I mean, in all sincerity, James Franklin needs to answer that. I think that they were both underperforming. He did not like David Corley's performance and elected to move on from him. But there's something about Phil Galliano that maybe there's more to it than we realize. Maybe Phil's a good recruiter. Maybe Phil does other things on the staff. Maybe James doesn't put all the blame on Phil because he didn't put as much time in the special team. I have no idea. I can't answer that question.
I think he knew Corley was a bad fit at wideouts coach. And when Gattis left and he brought Sider on to be a great recruiter, and he had to put him at running backs. I think that kind of –
because Corley was hired to be the running back coach originally.
Yeah, and I think that James knew. He was like, well, give him a chance, but if he can't cut it, I gotta make a quick decision on this, because recruiting at the wideout position is a big deal.
Yeah, that's a huge deal. All right, let's keep going. Let's go to Greg in Camp Hill, Pennsylvania. Ross, you continue to bring up schools such as Bama, Georgia, and Clemson that, in your words, have dudes, those with great size, strength, freak athletes on their team, and that's why they continue to be successful. How close or how soon do you think Penn State is – how close or soon is Penn State to having a team full of, as in your words, dudes?
I don't think they're that close. I mean, I know that they recruit pretty well.
I would agree.
But – it's funny because I did that All-American Bowl, And we were talking that the difference between having a top three or four recruiting class versus like 12 is night and day. That's a, you know, you might not think it's that much. It's a big difference. Penn State's at 10 now. As our boss, Jim Galante, likes to point out, there are the star rankings and average rating and blah, blah, blah. But they don't have it at the most important position, which is D tackle. Like, to me, that's the most important position other than quarterback, probably. And Penn State still doesn't have those guys. We'll see what happens over the next couple weeks. Maybe they'll get a couple of them. But look at the Alabama, Clemson, and Georgia, in particular, defensive linemen. And then look at the Penn State guys.
Right.
Penn State has Yetur Gross-Matos, right? They have like eight dudes that look like that. That's right. The difference to me. And I think you really only get those guys. There's just not that many of them.
Right.
So you really only get those guys when you're like a top five recruiting class, top five program. And Penn State has really successfully recruited a lot of positions other than that one, other than D-tackle, which is a little bit bizarre because Sean Spencer is considered a really good recruiter and he's a D-line coach.
Right. All right, let's keep moving. One more. This is from Don at Camp Hill. There's a lot of players in the transfer portal that are now available to be contacted by other programs. After several juniors declaring their eligibility for the NFL draft, now this happens. Do you think this all is a reflection of the frustration and dissatisfaction with Coach Franklin and the program? Or do you just think these guys don't think they're going to play? And do you think James Franklin might have been blindsided by this?
I think it's more the latter, that these guys don't think they're going to play. I don't think you're looking to leave Penn State if you think you're going to play.
Yeah. I
just don't think that you're going to do that, most of them. I don't think they're dissatisfied. I don't know which ones he was blindsided by. I don't know if he's really blindsided by any of them anymore. I think Givens going pro was probably a little surprising. I think
probably Lamont Wade stepping into the portal.
Well, here's the thing, too. These guys don't go into the portal, usually, until they talk with the coaches first.
Right.
And have those conversations and have a feel for where they're going to be the next year. They don't go into the portal until they've kind of made up their decision. Let's go to – that's a good question. Go with that one.
All right. That is Don in Camp Hill. And it's a portal question. Shocking. All right. That'll do it for Ask Ross coming up. Quarter number four. We're going to close strong. Stick with us. We will be right back.
Keystone Kickoff from KeystoneSportsNetwork.com.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football. Flannel. Beards. Tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.